Welcome to the program, God and Country Radio, a program that looks at political, social, prophetic events in the light of biblical exposition. I'm your Bible teacher, Pastor Brad Winship. Today's program is about Israel and U.S. relations. In the final weeks of 2016, in the final days of President Obama's administration, the UN passed two sanctions against the state of Israel. It's likely that the UN wanted to get these resolutions passed before the Trump administration came to Washington. Donald Trump has appointed the former governor of South Carolina, Nikki Haley, as U.S. ambassador to the UN. Haley is a born-again Christian and a staunch supporter of Israel. The first UN resolution was on November 30th. It stated that any action taken by Israel to impose laws, jurisdictions, or administration on the holy city of Jerusalem is illegal. This resolution was introduced by Arab countries. 147 member UN nations voted for the resolution. 7 were against, 8 abstained. Which shows us that almost the entire world is against Israel establishing their homeland in Israel. Even though we're talking about a piece of real estate that's smaller than the state of New Jersey, and only about 1/500th of Arab lands. Back in November, the United States was one of the few nations that voted against the resolution. But a few weeks earlier, back in October, UNESCO, a department of the UN, which stands for United Nations Educational, Scientific, Cultural Organization, passed 24-6 a resolution that claims that the Jews have no historical ties to the Temple Mount or the Western Wall. UNESCO was on board with this Islamic myth that the Jews never had a temple in Jerusalem. Israel's Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu responded by saying, "The theater of the absurd continues at the UN." Today, UNESCO adopted its second decision this year, denying the Jewish people's connection to the Temple Mountain, our holiest site for more than 3,000 years. What's next? A UN decision denying the connection between peanut butter and jelly? Batman and Robin? Rock and roll? The next important resolution by the UN was passed on December 23rd by the Security Council, which is the main ruling body of the UN. The resolution stated that Israel's settlements in the West Bank and in East Jerusalem are illegal. On the Security Council are 10 non-permanent nations and 5 permanent nations: U.S., France, Great Britain, Russia, China. The permanent members have veto power. And so the United States could have vetoed this resolution as it has done in the past, but not this time. The resolution passed 14-0. Which again shows us where the world is in respect to support for Israel. And President Obama wanted to leave office with this support for the Palestinians over the Israelis. So let's talk about the West Bank and why Israel is building settlements there and why the world is objecting. Now, we're not talking about the east side of the Jordan River, which historically was also part of Israel. We're talking about the west side of the Jordan River, which makes up the bulk of ancient Israel. The West Bank is Israel. Israel would only be a sliver of land on the coast of Israel if it wasn't for the West Bank. Everywhere that Jesus and his disciples traveled was on the West Bank, including Jerusalem. Now, back in 1917, the British government proposed a homeland for the Jews in the Balfour Declaration. This was called the British Mandate. At that time, they gave the land east of the Jordan called the Transjordan, to an Arab leader to build a new Arab state, which is now the nation of Jordan. The land of Palestine, to the west of the Jordan River, was to be divided into three regions: a Jewish state, an Arab state, and an internationally administered region, which included Jerusalem. But in retrospect, it would have alleviated so much conflict if the British would have just given all of Palestine to the Jews. But God had a different plan. So this new nation of Jordan was not happy with the fact that their fellow Arabs could create a competing state on the West Bank. So in 1948, Jordan invaded the West Bank and claimed it as part of the nation of Jordan. Then in 1967, in the Six-Day War, Israel was attacked by Jordan, Egypt, Syria, and a number of other Arab states. Israel won. In winning, they took control of the West Bank, saying that Jordan had no right to annex it in the first place, and it was necessary for Israel's security to administer the West Bank. The war proved that the Arab states were out to destroy Israel, and if Israel was going to be a nation, it needed to have at least all of the land west of the Jordan. Now today, Israel has about 600,000 Israeli Jews living in the West Bank, 123 government-approved settlements, about 100 non-government-approved settlements, 12 major neighborhoods, and included in the West Bank controversy is the city of Jerusalem itself. Right now, the West Bank is in limbo. Under the administration of Israel, but controlled by the PA, the Arab-Palestinian Authority, a combination of the Fatah and Hamas movement. Those on the left who sympathize with the Palestinian Arabs want statehood for the PA and the West Bank. This is called the two-state solution. Supporters of Israel say that the West Bank should eventually belong to Israel. Hardliners in Israel say that Israel should simply annex the West Bank and claim that it belongs to Israel. But of course, this would result in international sanctions on Israel and Arab uprisings. So each side is waiting it out, hoping that time and events will settle the matter in their favor. You see, if the Arabs unilaterally claim Palestinian statehood or make any military moves against Israel, Israel would have the right to claim that the Arabs have not kept their end of the bargain, and all the previous agreements are null and void. Israel could then justify annexing the West Bank and possibly get the support of the United States. But until the Arabs make an aggressive move, Israel cannot make a move. And right now, rather than the UN and the international community creating a Palestinian state, they have only been willing to voice opposition to Jewish settlements on the West Bank, to hinder the Jews from eventually taking over the West Bank simply by claiming squatters' rights. Please realize how much this situation is at loggerheads. The Jews in Israel cannot give up any of their lands to the Arabs. Religiously and socially, one would be cursed for having willingly signed over any historical Jewish lands to the Arabs. And Islamic Arabs feel the same way. It's their religious duty to claim all land for Allah. To give up land to the Jews would shame Islam. And so neither side will give. But all this is part of God's plan: to put the Jews into a political pressure cooker at the end of this age. Even the fact that in AD 1193, the Arabs built a mosque on the Temple Mount is part of God's plan. God is keeping the Jews from building the temple until the time is ripe. Now, much has been said by conservative commentators about President Obama's opposition to Israel. But I don't see it that way. I find it remarkable that for all of the anti-Israeli policies that could have been implemented over the last 8 years by a liberal Democrat administration, they weren't implemented. It did not come to Obama's mind to push for or to make the two-state solution a reality. And that's the hand of God. The left in America sides with the two-state solution and a homeland in Israel for the Arabs. I find it amazing that the hands of the nations against Israel have been stayed. And the Obama administration, unwittingly, has done more to destroy the power and the influence of the Arab world than any other current administration. With the rise of ISIS, the Arab world is a mess. Islamists are fighting against Islamists. Syria, Lebanon, Iraq, Yemen, Egypt, Libya are all in a state of internal crisis. Economically, religiously, and socially. And the Arab world is right now in no position to engage with Israel. They have too many problems in their home turf. And the Arab nations are in the weakest position in decades. Many Arab states are on the verge of bankruptcy because of declining oil prices. Forbes magazine, last fall, Saudi Arabia on the verge of economic crash. So who would have thought that when President Obama took office, the first president with a Muslim name and a Muslim background, that after 8 years in office, the power of the Arab world would be broken? Not by the U.S. military, but by a U.S. policy of inaction, Islamic infighting, and new oil technologies. God has his hand on Israel. I was reading an article by a Jewish rabbi, and he writes the following. I recently met in Jerusalem with Professor Leon Lederman, Nobel Prize winning physicist. We were talking science, and as the conversation went on, I said, "Well, what about spirituality, Leon?" And he said to me, "Schroeder, I'll talk science with you. But as far as spirituality, speak to the people across the street, the theologians." But then he continued and he said, "But I do find something spooky about the people of Israel coming back to the land of Israel." This rabbi continues, "Professor Lederman found nothing spooky about the Eskimos eating fish at the Arctic Circle. And he found nothing spooky about the Greeks eating moussaka in Athens. But he finds something really spooky about the Jews eating falafels on Jaffa Street. Because it shouldn't have happened. It doesn't make sense historically that the Jews would come back to the land of Israel." Unquote. But this is the calling of God. Zechariah chapter 10 verse 8. "I will whistle for them to gather them together. For I've redeemed them, and they will be as numerous as they were before." In Isaiah chapter 11, verse 11, "Then it will happen on that day that the Lord will again recover the second time with his hand the remnant of his people, who will remain from Assyria, Egypt, Pathros, Cush, Elam, Shinar, Hamath, and from the islands of the sea." And Jesus foretold about the Jews in Jerusalem. Luke chapter 21, verse 24, "And they will fall by the edge of the sword and will be led captive into all the nations. And Jerusalem will be trampled underfoot by the Gentiles until the times of the Gentiles are fulfilled." Israel, and at least part of Jerusalem, is now back in the hands of the Jewish people. It looks like this parenthesis in God's prophetic clock, the church age, the times of the Gentiles, is coming to an end. Let me also point out that 2017 is a landmark date for the Jews. 2017 will mark the 50th anniversary of the Six-Day War, where Israel gained control of the land. It will mark the 70th anniversary of the UN vote to create the Jewish state. And it will mark the 120th anniversary of the first Zionist conference held in 1897, the beginning of the Zionist movement to reestablish a Jewish homeland. God's prophetic timetable is advancing. Now, in the time I have left, I would like to make some observations on what the immediate future holds for Israel. The Trump administration, in the providence of God, looks like it will be good for Israel. As I mentioned, Trump appointed Nikki Haley to the UN, and she is a strong supporter of Israel. Trump also appointed David Friedman to be U.S. ambassador to Israel. Friedman is a Zionist. And he once said that Israelis should be willing to give their lives to annex the West Bank. Friedman's appointment sent left-leaning liberals into a rage. They consider him dangerous to peace in the Middle East. And it just so happens that Friedman, who is a Jewish New York City real estate lawyer, has been working with Donald Trump for the past 15 years. During the campaign, an official in the Trump campaign stated that if elected, Donald Trump would support Israel annexing the West Bank. Trump has also said that he's ready to move the U.S. embassy from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem, the official capital of Israel. Previous presidents were unwilling to do this because the Arabs still claim Jerusalem as their own. And providentially, Donald Trump is the kind of leader who is not prone to follow the politically correct course of action. For good or bad, he does what he wants to do and doesn't care what other people think. And maybe it's a rogue like Donald Trump who God will use to further the establishment of the Jewish state. He may even cause some sort of conflict whereby Israel gets Jerusalem and the Temple Mount. That might seem like too much to hope for, but given the history of Israel, expect the impossible. But this will not be done because Donald Trump is a Christian, but because he's a hawk. And his experiences have caused him to favor the Jews over the Arabs. Providentially, Donald Trump has had more positive contacts with the Jews than any other president. His daughter, Ivanka, married Jared Kushner, an Orthodox Jew, and he is one of Trump's key advisors. Ivanka converted from Presbyterianism to Orthodox Judaism. Trump's grandchildren are Jewish. And Trump's work in New York City has connected him with many Jewish business leaders and many Jewish interests. And once in the Oval Office, Donald Trump has a Republican majority in the Senate and in the House. After the December 23rd UN vote to stop Israel from building in the West Bank, the House of Representatives voted to rebuke the UN for its vote, 342-80. And of course, the majority of the 109 Democrats in the House opposed the motion. But still, in the U.S. House of Representatives, there is overwhelming support for Israel, and that is not found in any other nation. Ted Cruz and Marco Rubio have introduced legislation that would make the White House recognize Jerusalem as Israel's official capital. This is something the Obama administration has refused to do. So for all of the corruption and the problems we have in the United States, there is still a small window of opportunity for Israel to acquire the entire land of Israel with the support and help of the United States. And additionally, there have been many recent articles suggesting that with renewed support for Israel coming from the United States, that will influence other European governments, even influencing Russia to support Israel. Before the UN vote on December 23rd, Trump called the president of Egypt and convinced him to withdraw his country's original sponsorship of the UN resolution. Then Donald Trump tweeted after the UN vote that things will be different at the UN after he takes office. The providence in all this is incredible. You can't make this stuff up. And in the next few years, we may witness some dramatic revolutionary changes in Israel. But let me emphasize that this is all by the hand of God, not the hand of man. I was just reading an article about how the Jews were restored to Israel. If you think it was by their ingenuity or by the plotting of the Mossad, you're wrong. They were given back their homeland despite themselves. For the past 2,000 years, the Jews have been trying to recreate this homeland in Israel, only to fail and fail again. But events in the 20th century came together to make it happen. Zechariah chapter 10, verse 8. I will whistle for them to gather them together, for I have redeemed them, and they will be as numerous as they were before, when I scattered them among the peoples. They will remember me in far countries, and they with their children will live and come back. I will bring them back from the land of Egypt and gather them from Assyria, and I will bring them into the land of Gilead and Lebanon until no room can be found for them. And they will pass through the sea of distress, and he will strike the waves in the sea, so that all the depth of the Nile will dry up, and the pride of Assyria will be brought down, and the scepter of Egypt will depart. This prophecy of Zechariah is not talking about the Jews returning from Babylon, because that had already taken place 20 years before the prophet Zechariah. This prophecy is speaking about the return from a second exile at the end of this age. Now, what still needs to happen in Israel is the restoration of Jerusalem. It's interesting that after the Babylonian exile, Cyrus, in 538 BC, gave the decree for the Jews to return to the land. But it wasn't until about 70 or 80 years later that there was the decree of Artaxerxes to restore and rebuild Jerusalem. Before that decree, none of the people in that area wanted the Jews to fully occupy and rebuild Jerusalem. They were opposed to officially restarting the Jewish nation. And the same has happened today. In 1948, the Jews were given part of the land of Israel. But they still don't have the decree to restore and rebuild Jerusalem and the temple. Prophetically, that appears to be the next stage. Maybe in a few weeks, I'll do a follow-up program explaining biblically why the rebuilding of the temple in Jerusalem is a necessary prophetic milestone. You've been listening to God and Country Radio with Pastor Brad Winship, pastor of Harbor Bible Church in Lawrence Harbor, New Jersey. The radio website is godandcountryradio.org. From there, you can listen to this program again or download it or access other past programs. That's godandcountryradio.org. Thank you for taking the time to listen today. Let's close in prayer. Father in heaven, we are thrilled that your prophetic word is coming to pass and that the end of the age is upon us. Our blessed hope is the return of our Lord Jesus Christ, our gathering together unto him and his everlasting kingdom. Even so, come, Lord Jesus, come quickly. Amen.